open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. And last week we started this series on the Ten Commandments. And we looked at Commandment 1, where God declares, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we talked about how God needs to be our all in all. And this morning we're going to look at Commandment 2, which is the longest of commandments. Look at how long it is. It goes across three verses. But I want us to look at this, and as we look at it this morning, I've entitled this morning's message, Worshiping God His Way. Worshiping God His Way. And of course, the brief statement of this commandment would simply be this: Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. So this is the one that we look at, no idols. And then as you see down in the other verses, in verse 5, God says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. So really, we have three explicit commands that are given there. And whenever you study a passage of Scripture, it's always good to notice the verbs that are there. And you see here, there are three distinct verbs given in this commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. So keep that in mind as we look at the second commandment this morning. Commandment 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now I would submit to you that because of the length of this commandment, and when you compare it to what God said there in verse 3, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, just a very simple statement. But as God commands us not to bow down to idols, He gives us much more information there. And I would submit to you that the reason that is because there is a great danger in fallen mankind to make idols. There is a great danger in humankind to violate the second commandment and to be involved in idolatry. And as we look at this morning, you may find out that idolatry goes beyond what you have traditionally thought of as idolatry. Now, it's also interesting to note that of the different commands, this one is the one most often repeated in the Bible. We see it repeated over and over again in the Old Testament because Israel constantly had a problem with idolatry. They would serve God and then they would wander away and would be given to idols. And so again and again and again, the prophets would warn them and tell them to turn away from the idolatry, and they would reemphasize to Israel that they needed to follow God's command of not making any graven images. Another interesting thing about this commandment is that it comes with both a threat and a promise. Look at verse 5, if you will. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Then verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them, thousands of generations is the meaning there, of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we see there's both a threat and a promise. Now really let this sink into you, into your thinking this morning. God says that He will punish the children of idolaters down to the third and fourth generation. Now think about that. If you are given to idolatry, if you worship an idol, then according to this, your great-grandchildren even will pay the price for that idolatry. long after you are dead and gone. So this gives you maybe a glimpse as to how serious violating the second commandment indeed is. Now, we look at, it's not that hard to understand what God is talking about. In fact, even in modern psychology, with all of its problems, they even seem to understand that there is a direct connection between the problems that a person experiences and what their family has experienced. Even modern psychology seems to understand that. You know, there seems to be a type of spiritual DNA that is passed along from father to son, down from generation to generation. Much like our physical DNA. Whether we like it or not, we pick up the mannerisms, we have some of the same quirks, some of the same ideas as what our parents have. And in the same way, spiritually, God says that if we are given to idolatry, that that is passed on, and that even our great-grandchildren will be punished because of that sin. Now, you notice that not only is there a threat given to that, but what a wonderful blessing it is that we see in verse 6, that just as God will punish those who are given to idolatry, those who serve God and love God, they will be rewarded to thousands of generations. So you see that the reward is greater than the punishment for this commandment. Now as you think about the punishment being passed on from generation to generation, as you think about spiritual DNA that is being passed on. You know, recently I had the opportunity to take a group that had come to visit Kelly Community Bible Church over by my house. They didn't have transportation, and so I took the van and went with them up to Maracas Bay. After we went to Maracas Bay, they wanted to go down and see the Hanuman statue down in Waterloo. And I thought it was a day that would never end, you know. I felt like the tour guide. I took them to Maracas Bay. Then they wanted to go here. They wanted to go there. But so anyhow, it was at the end of the day. And we went down to the Hanuman statue. And I've been there several times myself. And as I was sitting there, I mean, it always affects me, sitting there and watching people come up and worship that idol, you know. And so I saw some adults come up and saw them go through the ritual, you know, taking their shoes off and doing the different things before they could go into the area where this huge, you know, Hanuman idol was. But then I saw a car pull up, and a daddy and a mama and a little boy got out. And I saw that the daddy kind of sat over in the area where I was at, just kind of letting people walk around. But I saw that mom and that little boy go up there to that statue. And I saw her do all the little rituals before she went in. Then I saw that boy do that right behind her. And God just really gripped my heart. And I don't know, there was just a thankfulness for me towards my parents, because I had been taught about the true God. And I realized that were it not for the grace of God, that could be me standing there watching my mother do those things and learning how to bow down to that false idol. You know, the sin of idolatry, God says, will be punished to the third and fourth generation. And so this morning, maybe you don't have idols in your house. I mean, what we traditionally think is fashion idols. But I submit to you this morning, idolatry goes beyond that. And we need to make sure that we get every form of idolatry out of our life. We need to make sure that we don't have that in our lives. So as we look at this morning, I would submit to you that you must come to God on His terms. You must come to God on His terms. We don't have the right to say, well, I think God is like this, and so I'm going to make this little statue, or have this picture, and that's going to be my God. No, we have to come to God on His terms. Now, you may notice there's a very close relation between the first commandment and the second commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You might say, well, aren't those really the same? What is the real difference? But this is how I think you could understand what the difference is between those two commandments. The first commandment tells us who we worship, right? God. It's Him alone. That's who we worship. And the second commandment tells us how we should worship. And that is, if we are going to come to God, to this righteous, holy God of the universe, that there is none other like Him, if we are to come to this God, then we have to do so on His terms. We can't just make it up as we go and just worship in any way we want. We have to come to God on His terms. And so let's look at those three verbs that were given there in the command. The first thing we're told is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now the statement is so explicit. God makes it very clear that we are not to bow down and worship any kind of idol. We're not to have any kind of graven image. That would include statues, pictures, stained glass, printed images, painted images, hand-woven images, images of animals, birds, reptiles, whatever it may be, even images of biblical characters. If you believe that you are worshiping that thing, that you think that you are worshiping to that, you're giving worship to it, or you believe that you're worshiping through it, then that thing is an idol. Sometimes people argue that using religious images, that that's just an aid to worship because it focuses the mind. Okay? But I want you to understand this morning, if you have a picture or a little statue or whatever it may be, and you pray to that, or you worship that, or you think that it's through that item that you get to God, my friend this morning, that is idolatry. It's not just an aid to worship. Suppose I told you that I like you so much I put a picture of a spider on my wall to remind me of you. You would be offended at that, wouldn't you? You say, Pastor Jimmy, I'm not a spider. Why would you do that? And that must be how God feels when we take some kind of image that can in no way compare to Him, and yet we say, ooh, I'm going to bow down and I'm going to pray to this, or I'm going to kiss this, and I'm going to make this my God. We need to make sure that we don't make idols, that we don't have graven images. There's no image, there's no statue, there's no piece of art that could ever do justice to the righteous, holy God that we learn of in the Bible. For someone to say that a statue helps them keep Jesus in mind. Because listen, there's idolatry among people who claim to be Christians. For someone to say that it's a statue of Jesus that allows them to keep Jesus in mind and they bow down or kiss that statue or worship that statue even of Jesus. It's like a woman saying that she goes out with other men to keep her husband in mind. Really understand that idolatry really is spiritual adultery. We should give our worship to God alone. You know, perhaps Paul said this most eloquently regarding the foolishness of trying to put God into some kind of statue or image. In Acts chapter 17, verse 29, you don't have to turn there, but listen to what he says. He says, forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Now, I want you to have a clear understanding of what I'm saying this morning. Pictures, images, statues, stained glass windows, they're not wrong in and of themselves. Okay? We use visuals here when we teach children. We use flannel graph and different things like that. They have images on them. Those things are not wrong in themselves. The problem comes when those objects become a thing of worship. When someone bows down and believes that they are getting to God through that item, or that that item actually is somehow divine in itself. When a person imagines that that object is God or somehow helps them get to God, that is an idol. Listen, even a picture of Jesus can be an idol if someone prays to that picture or gives some kind of reverence to that picture that should be given to God alone. Now, another way that we can be guilty of this commandment, and we want to make sure that we don't do this in our life, is by imagining a God to suit ourselves. Now, we recently went through that Way of the Master soul winning course and that video series. What a blessing I know that series was in my life. But I was amazed at those video segments where they would approach people on the street and they would, you know, ask them, you know, do they think they're a good person? Which, you know, most people would say yes. Then when they're taken through God's law of the Ten Commandments, it becomes apparent very quickly, of course, that they're not a good person. And what was interesting to me is how many times people would say, well, I don't believe that God is like that. Or I don't believe that God would send somebody to hell. Or I believe in a loving God. Or they would say something, you know, they believe God is this way. Of course, you know, for those who were witnessing would often say to them, you know what you've just done? You violated the second commandment, because what you've done is made a God to suit yourself. It's amazing to me how many people out there, you know, they say, well, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. Based on what? Based on just your feelings? You see, we have to base our ideas about God on the Bible. We have to come to God on His terms, not just something we dream up. You know, I often wonder for those people, how does that work in other areas of their life? I mean, if they don't think they're getting paid enough at work and they think their boss should pay them more, just poof, all of a sudden they just get a raise, you know, just because they dreamed it up. Or they think the teacher should have given them a higher grade at school, and so since they think they should get a higher grade, poof, all of a sudden they have an A in the class. You know, just because we think a certain thing doesn't make it so. You can think all day that you can defy gravity, but if you go up to one of those huge buildings in Port of Spain and jump off the top, you will splat right on the concrete, right? Because you've violated a law. It doesn't matter if you think it's so or not. And that's how it is with God. We shouldn't imagine some God to suit ourselves. We must get our ideas about God from what He has revealed to us in the Bible. If we do something other than that, if we make God anything other than what is revealed in the Bible, then we indeed are guilty of idolatry. So don't make idols. Don't give your imagination to other gods. This first one, if you could see or imagine that this one really has to do with the mind. Don't dream up in your head something other than what God has revealed about Himself, the mind. Don't give your imagination to other gods. Secondly, there in verse 5, God says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. I believe this one doesn't have so much to do with the mind as it has to do with the heart. Don't bow down yourself to idols. Don't give your affection to other gods. Now I want you to notice after that in verse 5 what God declares about why He doesn't want us to do this. And if you'll get hold of this, you'll learn something extraordinary about our God this morning. He says, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Listen, that word that's used there, jealous, is a very strong word. Now, we use that word, right, when we talk about people who are in a relationship, right? We find out that a guy has cheated on his girlfriend, and the girlfriend, or she sees that guy, maybe he hasn't cheated, but if she even sees him talking to another girl, we say, oh, she's jealous because she gets all mad about that, right? As this word jealous that's used here about God, it has the same meaning as what we use it today. It means God has a passionate love toward you, and He doesn't want to share the spotlight with anybody else. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, he said. God is a jealous God. And you know, understand this morning that jealousy is not something, and many times when we talk about it as something that is evil. But I would submit to you that in a proper loving relationship, there should be jealousy. My wife should expect 100% of my attention. She has the right to expect that I would not share my love and affection with any other woman but her. She has the right to expect that. And guess what? I have the right to expect that from her, that she would not share that love and affection between a husband and wife with any other man. You know, in the same way, that is the kind of relationship that our holy, righteous God desires to have with us. And He won't share the attention with anybody else. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Don't bow down to them, neither serve them. God is a jealous God. And if we have idols in our lives, then it is equivalent to spiritual adultery. Our greatest affection should be towards God. Now, if you have a greater affection toward anything else in your life, if there's anything else that has greater affection in your life than God, then my friend, that thing is an idol. Think about this. What is your most prized possession this morning? Your most prized possession. Would you be willing to give that up if Jesus asked you to? Now, if your answer is no, then that possession, whatever it may be, a person, a career, education, whatever it may be, if you're not willing to give that thing up for God, then that thing is an idol. You know, Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this morning, don't make unto thee any graven images. Don't make idols. That has to do with your mind. Don't make a god to suit yourself. And then, of course, don't bow down to idols. That has to do with your heart. Don't give your affection to anyone else more than God. And then, that last verb that we're given, don't serve idols. If the first one has to do with your mind, and the second one has to do with your heart, then I would say this one has to do with your hands. Don't give your energy to other gods. Now think about in your life, what do you give the greatest amount of energy to? What is it that makes you too busy to come to church? Too busy to read the Bible? Too busy to pray? What is that thing that demands your attention so much that you can't do those things? Could it be that that thing is actually a violation of the second commandment, and that you're giving more energy, you're serving another god other than the one true God? I like what an ancient philosopher said. He said, if you are never alone with God, it is not because you are too busy. It is because you don't care for Him, don't like Him, and you had better face the facts. That's pretty heavy duty, isn't it? Let me read that again. If you are never alone with God, it is not because you are too busy. It is because you don't care for Him, don't like Him, and you had better face the facts. Listen, we need to make sure that we don't give our energy to other gods. He says, don't bow down to them, don't serve them. Listen to this poem. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way, too busy to care and struggle, to think of a life to come, too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly one, too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast, too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast, too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky, too busy to serve the Master, but not too busy to die. How true that is. At some point, every one of us has that appointment with death. Hebrews tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I hope that you haven't spent so much energy running around and being so busy that when you stand before God, He'll say, you've been guilty of idolatry. You served other gods. You gave your energy more to other things than to me. Are you too busy this morning? Do you give your greatest amount of energy to something other than God? If so, then this morning, my friend, you are guilty of idolatry. So this morning, your mind, don't make idols. Don't allow your mind to fashion a God that is different from what the Bible reveals about Him. And then don't bow down to idols. Don't give your affection to anything. Don't give your greatest affection to anything other than God. And then your hands. Don't give your energy to other gods. Don't allow idolatry to creep into your life. Don't make them. Don't bow down to them. Don't serve those idols. Give God first place and come to Him on His terms.